with Steve and Scorpio. Come on! Revolution.radio. www.freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Please, hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody seen Mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
the future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello, welcome to the show. This is Revolution Radio, and the program is Rock the Boat with Ron Stevens. Unfortunately, today, Ron is on assignment, but fortunately, we have a very popular host that's helping to fill in for the next 2 hours. And without further ado, I'll just say he's either considered a famous man or an infamous man. But though regular listeners know who he is, and that name would be L.B. Bork. Thank you, L.B., for jumping aboard.
Oh, thanks for having me here. I know you're good friends with Ron, and I've been on with him once or twice, but not in this lengthy capacity. I hope we can pull the next 2 hours off.
Well, that's only 2 hours. You've done
it. I don't know. You know his format. Unfortunately, I don't listen to him often, but I know he and myself are kind of on the same path because we want to get people motivated and, you know, get them activated and doing things to fix what's going on. I know you're in the same vein talking to you as I have. I have to apologize. I just got up. I was up late and a little tired yet.
Well, just so the listeners understand, I just got the message this morning. Well, actually, I didn't. I got it a half hour before the show because I never had my Skype on. And then Ron had asked me, can you do the show? And I'm not a radio show host. So I went, oh, who can I get? And I went, I know, the go-to guy. And I hit LB up, and then boom, he said, I'm in. So yeah, LB,
I'll do it.
Thank you for still scraping the crud out of your eyeballs, waking up and jumping on board. That is really cool.
Yeah, and I don't do coffee, so.
No.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying so people understand I'm a little groggy, or why I'm a little groggy right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, Ron's been talking about getting people motivated and activated. And that's a problem that I've had with people over the years. I've been in this movement, almost 25 plus years. I got involved back in 93, I think it was, and really didn't get settled in until about 95. When Ross Perot came around and got me interested in the politics, because I hadn't been interested at all, but really never voted and never have. And the reason being, I always thought Washington, D.C. and the whole political system was criminal, not only based on what happened to Richard Nixon, the guy that wasn't a crook.
The two-piece guy, yeah.
Yeah, the peace sign guy entering the helicopter for his final day or whatever it was. Famous photo or, shots that were taken of him.
Yeah.
But that big fiasco with Watergate and whatever. By the way, Hillary Clinton was involved in that, and she got fired for doing unscrupulous things during that period of time. I don't know the details. I just know the action that happened. But she, go ahead.
No, I always find it interesting. When you start doing some more serious, deep research, the names that pop up that you go, holy crap, that was 20 right. years later. Who's this person? How were they there then? And they're all intertwined, man. They've been together forever.
Right.
And it gets really complicated when you go beyond just basic research and you really start to dig into the paperwork. And you see these names come up, like Rusk and a myriad of names that all of a sudden these right. people become, well, potential infamous. Presidents of the United States, and that's, Hillary Clinton's one of them, man. Like that, how deep this hole goes is just incredible.
Well, you can see the Democrats are being thrown under the bus right now. We'll get into that, but let me continue on my criminal activity and why I didn't get involved in politics. But anyway, yeah, I'm kind of laying the groundwork here so people understand a little bit about me and how I got involved in this and what I do now and what my I have the remedy to fix things in the United States, but no one wants it. We'll get into that later, but. I thought these people were criminals. So that's why I never got involved in politics. I got out of high school and said, I don't want anything to do with them. And I did my best just to live my life. I think like a lot of people do. I know you're in Canada, Ron, or not Ron, Chris. And pardon me, so like I said, I'm not awake yet. But I think from what we talked about and what I've seen of Canadians, it's pretty much the same up there in a lot of respects. And one thing I've, noticed about not only Revolution Radio, but there's a lot of foreigners that seem to be interested in how the path of the United States ends up. And we can talk about that during the program today. But to stay on point of my topic right now, the criminal activity is, when I started doing my research, back to where the period of where things really turned over in the 1850s is an interesting comment that was made. I used American Heritage Dictionary to do a lot of my research, look up certain words and things and see what they said. And the nature of my research is pretty much simple like that. I don't go deep into subjects like my book. For example, I go into conspiracy type issues, the first page, okay? I talk about the conspiracy, get it out of the way, and then the rest of my book is about law. Pretty much. You know, I talk about things that the conspiracy has done in that, but like I said, I have the remedy for what needs to be done in the United States, and it's probably similar all over the world, but I haven't worked closely with anyone around the world really at this point. And as if you notice that most people stay away from law, they just talk about current events and conspiracies, which really gets you nowhere. You know, it's just talk, you know, and that's the problem I have with the movement. But that's a story for another day, I guess. We'll try to be more positive today. But, yeah, back in the 1850s, I looked up Ulysses S. Grant, and I haven't done deep research on him. I know I live about 30 or 40 miles away from where he settled after he retired as president. He was the main president for two terms, unbelievably enough, after the Civil War. And he followed up the fiasco after they shot Lincoln and whatever. And they said about him his two terms in office were filled with graft and corruption. So I kind of look at that as maybe the foundation for how the United States operates for the last 150 years. You know, it's graft and corruption. So, you know, I didn't know this when I was a child or when I graduated high school. I just knew that after President Kennedy got shot, and looking at the Vietnam War and all the crap that went down in the late 60s, then, you know, Tricky Dick, so-called, getting ousted out of office, you know, and then just other things. I just didn't want anything to do with government, you know. So I was right in my gut feelings based on what I just said about Grant and my research, of course, after deeper research and into law, I can tell what's going on. And it's very sad what they've done, and people have swallowed it to hook, line, and sinker. And it needs to be fixed, and people aren't willing to fix it now because they're, you know, 150 years into this corrupt system. And, you know, as we see, it appears to be being turned around now. It's really a con job. And like I said a minute ago, they're throwing the Democrats under the bus right now. And that's part and parcel to what I suspected was going to happen. And I wrote it in my book in the program of what they're following, which is world communism. 20 years ago, I figured this out and wrote about it. And, you know, the United States is the most successful installation of communism there's ever been in the world. Reason being is because people are totally oblivious to it. And that's the program. The United States was the boilerplate for world communism. And it was first installed here. And it even started prior to the 14th Amendment in the Civil War period. It started with the Constitution. The problem is they couldn't get away with what they wanted, so they had to do it progressively. As you know, progressive is one of the terms these people use. And I don't even know if people know what these labels mean. I joke about conservatives don't even know what they're conserving, for the most part. And that's a divide and conquer terminology based on, you know, the right fighting with the left. And that's all set up. It's Marx's ruling class is what it is. They come up with these different terms to create the divide and conquer, which is under Sun Tzu's Art of War theories and, you know, procedures or whatever you want to call them. So, you know, just like they've set Americans up to commit treason against the original system, which is based on the Constitution and international law, they had to get them to rebel against the old system. And that's what the 14th Amendment did. And it says it right in there in Section 2 that you can't vote unless you participate in rebellion. And that's, of course, they don't say it's a communist rebellion, but that's what it is. And that's what my work has brought me to, is explaining this and how it works. And it's perpetual. And what they're doing now is they got things where they want them, communist-wise. And they're using Marxism, which is just things that Marx advocated in different writings and with different people to create chaos. And that's what's happening right now. And it's part and parcel of them throwing the Democrats out of, under the bus. I think they let them get away with things for the last 30 years or so that are unconscionable. And now they're going to, you know, use these things to take over as the original Communist Party, because the Radical Republicans in the 1850s were formed to take over. And basically they took over Jackson's Democratic Party or Democrat Party and flipped things over and became the good guys. While, you know, people like that foreigner, what's his name? Dinesh D'Souza, I think he goes by Dinesh, trashed the Democrats, who were the original landholders and farmers. And now these Republicans came in and basically stole the glory, so to speak, and replaced the lawful Americans. And now they're getting thrown under the bus, and these Democrats, or not Democrats, but Republicans, are the true communists, and people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. Now that they have 150 years of their program completed. And it's going to be interesting, this election, wouldn't you say, Chris?
Well, it's another election. You know, it's... I got to get back to what you're asking about, what Ron's thoughts.
Yeah.
His basic thought is dealing with law.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps it very simple. First, do no harm.
Right.
And
yeah, that's grounded in the common law, and I've been hearing that for a long time. I know there were some other women on the network here, or Revolution Radio, that talked about that. I never listened to them, to be honest, not to be arrogant, but I don't listen to too many people anymore, because when I got involved in the movement in the 90s, things were wrong. And the only time I listen to people is maybe to see if they have anything worthy to provide to people, or to see if they're disinformation agents or whatever, or just wasting yeah. people's time. So I listen to people enough to do that. But otherwise, I really, because I have the remedy and I know it needs to be done, and I don't need to listen to anyone else. They either join with what I'm doing, or they're part of the problem on the divide and conquer issue. That the adversary, or the, you know, the people that set up this world communist program, they're just useful idiots for that, based on divide and conquer. So that's where my head's at, and I have to be honest about it. Like I've told people, I didn't mean to take over here, but we'll talk about more about what Ron had to say. But our operates off of, which is, I see he's on the same path as I am, so he's an ally, for lack of better words. but he's in Canada, and each jurisdiction is going to be a little different. We'll get into that. But that's my foundation. That's my position. Like I say, they didn't get away with this for 150 years without disinformation agents being out there. And people are repeaters. They don't do their own research. And that's why the movement was a mess in the 90s when I got into it. There's, you know, gatekeepers and people that don't want to know the truth. That listen to the disinformation agents. That's how they've gotten away with this. And that's why nothing's gotten accomplished or moved forward in the last 150 years. Basically, everyone in the movement, and my good friend John Breeson, who I do trust, because he gets into the documents and the historical facts in regard to the people in that have been in the movement, like John Birch Society. He digs into their connections, the people that started it, and who they're affiliated with. You know, and that's what you have to do to find out who you're dealing with. So these people have been all been bad. They look like they're your friend, but they're not. So that I broke that what would you call modus operandi back in the 90s, because I did my own research and found out the problem. And I told someone the other day that I learned the truth when I stopped listening to other people. And that's a fact. And did my own research. And like I told my gaddy yesterday when I talked to him on the phone, I go, you know, the truth is out there. And he said, didn't they say that on that series? What was that series? It was out, it was with the FBI agents, about in the 90s, I think it was, X-Files. He goes, wasn't that the X-Files motto? The truth is out there. But they said it in the way of the alien crap and whatever. And exactly. That's one of the disinformation programs that the United States uses, UFOs and alien conspiracy theories are the biggest distraction there are. And it's I heard recently that it's one of the United States is the only one in the world that really follows that. And it gets back to what I'm saying about the United States being the biggest communist, achievement, because Americans are just totally been lied to. Anyway, go ahead, Chris. I talked long enough there.
Well, with what you were just saying about the aliens, it's what I say personally, and I've said it many times on different shows, it's, and most people understand this, but it is a true fact. When you tell 90% truth or 95% truth, people are going to listen. And then... Sure. Then you can squeeze in that 5 or 10% poison, and it confuses the mind.
Right. And
that's, they've been doing this. They got it down to a science, and that's what they do. And this is the problem we're having, because I've had good people that I started to doubt, because other people would come in and say, "Oh yeah, but if you take a deeper look at this person, there's this." So then you start to question yourself. I mean, I'm sure somebody can do it to you. They can do it to me. They do it to Ron. They do it to any host. Yet when somebody's actually starting to speak some truth, somebody comes along that you think is helping, but they inject that poison just to get your mind off of listening to the whole truth.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. For the average person, you know, that's what will turn them off right away.
Yeah.
If you bring up something really ludicrous sounding to them.
So then
they won't listen to anything else you have to say. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you start infighting. And then you start questioning the person that you used to be friends with, but now you're not so sure if you want to be friends with. And, you know, and then there's a divide and conquer again. It just, yeah. Now you're battling each other you know, like I've had issues with Ron in the past, the host of this show normally. But we get through it. I'll get mad at him for a few days, and you know, he'll come back after a week and say, "What's your problem?" And then I explain it to him, and he will look at here's the deal. And then when you talk it through, you realize that somebody else has gotten involved here that's caused me to question. You know, but then you're trying to. What I find personally is now you're trying to look at the person that sent you the information. It's everybody's confused because they're getting, you know, if I say one thing wrong, somebody could put a YouTube video up about it, you know?
Right.
And I don't mean it to be wrong. It's just something I said when I was talking like I am with you. And that is something we've got to try and overcome and then fight together rather than, you know, always suspecting the other person of, you know, being a shill or whatever.
I call them operatives.
Operative, shill, whatever.
Operatives and opportunists is a paper I had written based on my experience and why there's division and why nothing gets done. And I basically determined or said in the paper that I see no difference between an operative or an opportunist. And opportunist is anyone that's in the movement that thinks he's doing good. But most of them, like I said, they've gotten their information from someone else and they don't know if it's an operative or someone that just doesn't know what they're talking about. Kind of like you just referred to yourself. You didn't mean to do it, but you did it. So I don't have the time, just like I said earlier, that I look at people on their face, and if I know they're spewing crap, which I know is wrong, I just say, you don't deserve to, you know, say anything. You're damaging the movement. Because an operative and an opportunist, they do the same damage. But one's getting paid, and one's operating off ego, and they're both doing damage. So I don't have time for
that's
any,
a very valid
either.
Point.
And I don't have time to worry about them really. You know, it's like I started something called Island Makers years ago, and it was getting good postings and things, but I had to give it up because I don't have any help anymore. Because as you inferred. The internet's really screwed things up. It was like a scatter bomb when they put the social media up. It just all these opinions by people and distractions. YouTube, everyone with opinions and distractions, and they commandeered the movement totally now. Meaning the shadow government, as I call them, in a nice respect. Commandeered the movement with social media. All these opinions and distractions and things that just divided everyone up. It was kind of a brilliant strategy if you look at it that way. I've had people say...
Well, it is, because I got to tell you...
Go ahead.
...that there's people that I'm trying to talk to that are slowly starting to listen. But it's the same effect. Then they get into the social media, they get into, you know, these other websites. I hate to use Alex Jones as an example. He's long gone. Just to simplify it.
No, he's a shill.
He's a nut bar.
He's an operative. He does exactly what you just described, you know.
And most people that are in, are trying to understand what's going on, get that. But my point being, it's just confusing people that are trying to learn and they're just starting out. They don't have the ability or the
discernment is the word.
Yeah, at the beginning levels of them trying to understand what's going on. So
right.
you know, it goes back to what you're saying about scatter.
Scatter bomb.
Yeah.
That's a military term.
Yeah. And that's what they're using. And you are 100% correct. You and Ron are you talk the same language, my friend.
Yeah.
You do.
Like I got mad at Ron one day because he did something that, you know, it just sounded ludicrous based on what I know. But he said, this is easy. And I kind of have that same attitude. But the problem he wasn't explaining to people is the people are the problem. So it's not easy. They look to people that are narcissistic or talk a good shit show, you know, instead of looking for truth.
Yeah.
And that's why my friend Terry and I got mad at Ron one day on a program we were on. It was, I think I was taking over for John Wayne, I believe, was the program. You were on there too, I remember. And anyway, right. Yeah, today we all get along. But yeah, Terry and I got upset because we know, being in this for as long as we both have, that it's not easy. Yes, the remedy is easy. But people are the problem, so it's not easy.
Yeah,
that's
well,
that's what we're talking about.
You know, I can accept that as something you can agree to disagree with, but still be on the same side.
Yeah.
Like, I don't agree with Ron saying, you know, well, I do agree 100% that, you know, you start local. And
oh, definitely.
You fix yourself first. But I said it in this stage of the game. We can't just attack it at a local level because, what, you're going to wait to vote
right.
Another 4 years? And you got to try and get 25 people to go against the chosen one? And what's it going to say, another 12 years? I don't think we got that much time.
No, we don't. See, with my deal,
so why,
20 years have been wasted. And, you know, when I came out with my book, I had several people say, your book is ahead of its time. And I go, really? When is it time? It's less popular now than it was 20 years ago because of what we just discussed.
Yeah.
So I thought things would, okay, well, maybe it's not time, you know, which I didn't believe because there's no time better than the present, as it said, right? So things are worse, period. It's going to shit really quickly now. It's exponential.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, just a Canadian perspective, I do wake up every morning before I go to work. Unlike you, I will make a coffee. And
I do like coffee. I got to get my damn machine went down.
But
I just didn't.
I read our government run newspaper just to see what the enemy is up to. And I mean, it's COVID-19. It's diversity. Climate change.
Yeah, they're all communist.
And it's 24/7. 24/7.
Yeah.
And then you try and talk to somebody, and they don't even realize it because it's in their subconscious. They're reading this stuff, and they're believing it. And then you're trying to tell them, no, you know, shake your head. Get those marbles out. And they convert to, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist or a Nazi or a right-wing.
Yeah, that's all conditioning or brainwashing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
for the parents.
I try to get across to people is you just don't understand. You got to shut that shit up unless you know what they're talking about and what the game is. Like, why don't they give another side? You know, like, you got, what, 660 doctors, very prominent doctors that are saying this whole thing is bullshit, but you never hear that on our CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Network, which we call it by other names, but like,
well,
you know, it's the same with CNN and NBC, I'm sure.
Oh, you got about 90% of the people that just aren't going to listen because they're conditioned, you know. And in another example, there were about 500 engineers that came together to contest 9/11. Did they get any voice?
Or more than that.
Yeah, but that's what they advertised, 500. That's why I use that number.
That's right.
So, yeah, there's, of course, more people that disagree with the official story, quote unquote, that disagree with it. But do they get any voice? No, because the elite members and the elite and the members of Synagogue of Satan control everything.
They've actually asked for that. Is it Belgium? I think there was about 120 doctors. I could be wrong if it's not Belgium, but I think it was Belgium.
Yeah,
120 doctors came out, and they said exactly that. They wrote it all down. They're taking it to court and said, "You're not giving us the opportunity to speak."
You're talking about COVID now, right? Allow us
on your radio shows, which we all know who owns anyways.
Right.
And you will not allow us on your mainstream media, which we all know who owns anyways. And, you know, this is not how science is conducted. This is not how discussion is to be utilized as... You listen to our side, or you listen to nothing at all. And they actually wrote it out and spelled it out very clearly. And I don't know where that's going to go, but it's very interesting to see. Boy, if I can bring that up for you, I'd love to.
Yeah, John Wayne posted something in the station chat yesterday. Had to do with Afghans. And right. If they knew, they were shown pictures by some military men of the two Twin Towers being destroyed because they wanted to know if they knew what that was about and why the United States is there, you know, with a microscope up their ass with a bunch of military, you know, and none of them, they were clueless. They never knew about it. So this new world, it's all new world order in the Synagogue of Satan. Doing all this, like Mel Gibson said a few years ago, they got him in trouble. All the wars in the last few centuries have been caused by the Synagogue of Satan, because he used different terminology. That's my soft touch, biblical. Because it's what's going on now in the world is biblical. It goes back at least 3,000 years, which people don't even want to hear about what happened yesterday. You know. But that's part of their distraction operation of the people controlling people. They want to make sure that they're, you know, confused with new information or distracted with new information. It's a bright, shiny thing that gets their attention, that takes their attention away from what's really factual or important. Anyway, did you find that article?
I just found 15 more. This is the problem with the internet.
Yeah, I know.
It's, you get looking for one thing and you find 15 others and go, oh, crap.
That's another thing that I get mad at people. I say YouTube's not researching. I didn't have YouTube to research and figure out this. You know, I had to look into law books and stuff. I didn't need the internet
anymore. You can't go to BitChute anymore.
Anyway, go ahead. I interrupted again.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, back to what you're saying. You know, Ron has done several shows on who it is we have to deal with and who we have to deal with first.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done it on this network and on others that he's on or has been on. And there's no denying it. There's no, you know, like truth is no defense.
Kind of thing. No kidding.
You know,
that's why matter. I say, you know,
we got to talk feelings.
Yeah, but listen to the guy. People listen to the people that flap their jaws the best.
Yeah.
You're right. Truth doesn't matter.
No, there's been many shows that have been done that discuss the real problem for 2 hours solid. And he good at it. And, you know, that's what made me respect him so much, because he knows who the underlying issue is that is causing all of this.
Sure.
And it goes back to you talking about 3,000 years worth.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a game we're in.
I don't even center on that because, you know, it's important to understand, like I said, about the foundation of criminal activity under the United States starts with, well, it started long before that, but General Grant, his 2 terms in office, graft and corruption. That hasn't changed, you know, over the last 150 years. So my point is, and it's a common law maxim that's you can find in Bouvier's Law Dictionary, the 3rd edition. It's pre-Civil War law dictionary they used to use until Black's Law took over, which is basically the New World Order dictionary that came out of England. You know, they recrafted the legal system or law system for the United States with that book. And the Bar Association, which came into existence after the Civil War. So the lawyers today are all just a bunch of tools for the New World Order. They don't know law from their ass in a hole in the ground, really. They're taught the system, and they know that. And they get involved in a firm that specializes in whatever they specialize in, divorces, you know, which is part and parcel of the New World Order, you know, or whatever, corporate law, you know, it's a vast thing. So they really don't know the foundation of law. I, you know, when I got into the movement, I had to figure out myself that the Constitution is nothing more than a treaty. And the United States is, you know, basically just a, well, it's a corporation, but that's all they talk about is a corporation. That's
so more, George Bush was
more
right.
Distractive. What about what?
Just nothing but a goddamn piece of paper.
Well, the 14th, yeah, technically, he didn't say that, but he inferred it.
Well, that's what I heard.
I got a paper on that, actually, I wrote, exposing that. But
oh, you do?
Yeah, it's called You Have Been Warned, and it has to do with the Civil War, actually, because it's only a 3-5-page paper, I think. But it centers on Jefferson Davis, and he was pivotal in the information that my book is based on, because they called, you know, these communists, which were the North, that were trying to impose on the South their ideals and whatever, the slave issue. I don't even like talking about that because it was nothing but an emotional smokescreen to impose communism on America. Simply put, that's it. And the blacks today are still being used as tools to maintain the system with Black Lives Matter and whatever. And, you know, you can't tell me, just like we talked about these engineers and doctors that don't get heard. You don't get heard unless you have the big money behind you. So Black Lives Matter, as we know, they call it, if you look on their sites, they're Marxist. So it's nothing but distraction to maintain this system, which I call people that do that maintainers. And everyone's a maintainer. These people that are distracting people with their opinions and things on politics today are maintainers. Tim Pool, he's famous on YouTube right now. He's a maintainer. He's a useful idiot. So anyway, back to that paper. You have been warned. Jefferson Davis was, or not Jefferson Davis, what's his name? Now I mixed up my characters here. Is it Jefferson Davis? Yeah, that's right. Just a minute, I'll get that right, but I'll continue with the story while I'm looking it up. He was charged with treason, okay, against the United States, and they found that there was no treason. And I can explain that why, simply is because if the governor of the state, and that deals with what we're dealing with today and what will happen and how they fix things, is the governor, if the governors or the governor of a state approves of a rebellion, it's provided in the Constitution that they can do that. But if the governor doesn't agree to insurrection or rebellion, internally, the United States can't get involved. So when they wrote the Constitution, they made it so there's the right of secession is, invalid. It's built in to the state's right under international law to get out of the union. So, but the governor has to approve of it. Otherwise, the United States can come in and trash everyone. So all these Democrat, just to go off point here, the Democratic governors are, given them are Marxist. Out. Huh? So they've there's going to be no out. Way out with these. Everyone's Marxist today, even the Republican governors. So there's going to be no way that you can take up arms against the United States or your state because the United States will have the authority to come in. And you see this being used right now with Trump because he says, well, I can't go in and quash these people unless the governor says so. You know, so they're playing the two-sided coin thing here. The 14th Amendment, technically they could go in because these people are U.S. citizens and charge them with federal crime, but they're not doing it. They're playing the game to keep this scam going under the 14th Amendment. So people think the Constitution's still in full force and effect. Thank you. Good words. But it's not. So they're playing a fraud. So back to just a minute. Back to this paper. They basically dropped the case against Davis because it would open a can of worms. And that's what I wrote this paper about. And I actually start off in the syllabus. I said there are many people who tell you that George Bush stated that the Constitution was just a goddamn piece of paper. It's the first sentence in the paper, actually. And he didn't say that, actually, but I went on to say that it is technically because the 14th Amendment has overwritten the Constitution. They're even using the First Amendment and Second Amendment and Fifth Amendment for 14th Amendment citizens in a perverse manner. So, maybe he was thinking that.
Is that why?
I'll tell you, the goal of world communism is to, and I think this is what's going to happen in the near future. Like I said, they're throwing the Democrats under the bus. Their plan is to have totalitarian governments in all countries of the world. Each state is a country. The federal government is just the state of the union, which, you never hear them use that word usually.
Light them up and take them over.
Well, because that's part of communism is the brainwashing that, there's no borders, and they did away with 50. Technically with the 14th Amendment, because the United States is not a nation and it's not a country. But that gets back into what happened with, before I say it again, yeah, it is Jefferson Davis. He was involved in the Civil War. So this paper is about Jefferson Davis. I apologize for getting my name screwed up. I got so much, in my mind.
That's
names aren't good with me in the first place, you know. When I meet a person, I'm not, you know, someone's like, this is Joe, you know. I'm looking into their eyes and their mannerisms to see if I even want to know this soul, you know. So names go over my head. They always have. Because, yeah. You know, they're superficial in a sense. Especially when you're dealing with a bunch of clowns on the internet that won't even give you their real name, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of them in certain sites.
Yeah, I do that too. And it's not
because, you know, I never intentionally did that. But it was hip at the time.
That's hip. But yeah, I even did some of that because I used my initials, LB. It stands for Leonard Brett. It's a privacy thing. Or it was my pen name.
Yeah.
Instead of using my full name or whatever. But, you know, I'm not hiding behind any. My Bork's my name.
You know, yeah.
Not hiding. I never have on the internet. Excuse me.
Yeah, I've had to explain that a few times to people.
Anyway, yeah, Jefferson Davis, another thing I mentioned in this paper, Joseph Rory, who used to be on the station here, wrote a short piece on, he doesn't write. He's got a lot of knowledge, but I find that he's limited in his knowledge because he looked at history, but he hasn't looked at law the way he should, or international law for that matter. So his knowledge is limited, but he seemed to go where the wind blows, and he was on the station here with someone I don't trust. I think he's an operative. But the show's gone now, so it doesn't matter. But it's unfortunate. It's just another operative and opportunive situation that has, you know, held things up from getting done. But Davis, he said, you know, after the Civil War, he says he's a man without a country. He felt that he had his citizenship stolen, and there's no real details on that. But they took his, I forget what country, they probably mentioned it in here, which state he was from, which is a country again. Each state is a country. And I think it was Jimmy Carter. I'd have to read through this again, but it was Jimmy Carter that gave him his citizenship back during the Carter administration. Oh, geez, thanks. I'm dead and I can't defend myself. And you communist gave me this probably, you know, well, that's all that's really available to the public unless they don't want it like I've done over 20 years ago. I got rid of their stupid communist citizenship called United States citizenship. But they gave it to him like he wasn't here to defend himself. You know, it's just more dog and pony show. Matter of fact, Trump just pardoned Susan B. Anthony a few weeks ago. It's like she's been dead for, you know, 150 years or 140, whatever.
I'm sure you know? She's saying thank you.
And she was nothing but a communist operative. To tear up politics in America. It's sad, you know.
Yeah, no, that's funny. I got a quick question for you though.
Yeah,
go ahead. Is just on your hit on how much you know your history, because I don't know about it in the United States, but I know here in Canada, you can get a prime minister can run and get into office forever. They did have that at one time, did they not? Was that around
the United States
Jefferson's like, time, I think.
Yeah. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, they couldn't get away with what they wanted to at first, and this is before communism was designed. But the basic element of socialism or a good country or government with socialism is centralization. So they couldn't get away with that. Ultimately, they had to, you know, wait 80 years and do it with the 14th Amendment with the citizenship. But one of the things they did want to do is have perpetual a president. You know, he was elected and he was there for life. They couldn't get away with that either. But going back to what you said about Bush saying the Constitution's just a goddamn piece of paper, or that attitude exists today. And I think what we're going to see here with the Democrats being thrown under the bus and what they've stated in world communism is that Trump might take, and I've heard him say things that lend to this, that he's going to become a dictator. And the governor is using these executive orders, and you're seeing them more prevalent by the United States, which is a total override of the Constitution and a dictator measure. So they're testing the water with these things to do what my book laid out 20 years ago, which is a plan, and I get it right out of their code. You know, it's done stealthily, and they don't admit it, but they say there's going to be communist-based totalitarian dictatorships in all countries of the world is their goal. And they're testing the water right now. And if people, Americans, don't get their frickin' heads out of their asses, it's going to happen. And they've wasted 20 years. I've warned about this 20 years ago.
Well, it's a rhetorical question, but there's COVID-19.
That's all that's going on.
Is that do you think that's going to help implement him staying in?
It depends. You know, there's an ebb and flow to what they do, and that's the problem. You know, with telling people the truth, they go, "Oh, you said that was going to happen, and it didn't." Well, maybe it stopped it, because if you let the cat out of the bag, they go, "Uh-oh, we can't do that now," because they know about it. So we'll have to go to plan B. So truth is important, even though you look like a fool at times, or like you're wrong.
Sorry, LB. We're on a break. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss important topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock. For This, That, and the Other on Revolution Radio.
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Thanks, folks, for tuning in. This is Rock the Boat. I'd like to mention to the listeners that this network is listener-supported. Without your help, we may not be able to continue. There's a lot of radio shows mainstream that have advertisers that pay them money. This network is not one of them. So if you could be kind enough, reach into your pocket and instead of buying a coffee, send it to Revolution Radio so that you can hear the truth. I feel that's very important. But that being said, Mr. L.B. Bork, are you there?
I think so.
Okay.
I had something from that paper. This is a good paper. I posted it in the chat room. People should read it. It's only 6 pages. But Bush did say, if this were a dictatorship, it would be a heck of a lot easier. As long as I'm the dictator.
Yeah, that, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, he did say that. So I don't know. I look at that as, you know, advance notice of maybe what they have planned. And, you know, him being the dictator, it gets back to what we were saying about the Constitution. They wanted a permanent dictator or, you know, perpetual president. You can find that in the notes or minutes of the Constitutional Convention. So that's a fact. And they do, the president does go by His Excellency, just like a king or whatever. But they don't talk about that in open public.
Well, it's funny, LB, people don't realize here in my country, the queen is the one that actually rules.
Right.
And they think it's just a, what do you call that? a facade. I just can't find the right word right now. It's ceremonial. It's only ceremonial,
right?
But she has the power through her proxy to shut down our parliament. So how is that ceremonial?
Well, and since she's a dictator under communism, as you and myself have talked about, the communist overlay in Canada was achieved in 1871. It took place in the United States in 1868. So, as my book relates, the president's been technically a dictator since the Civil War. And the way they did it to usurp the Constitution is, and I go into a little bit of it in this paper, of course, my book and several writings explain exactly what's happening. I want to read Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, as long as I got this open. But the way they did it is made people, the voters are the people in rebellion, so they're deemed criminals, right? So to put the communist overlay in and totally change the legal system, and it ties to the plank four of the Communist Manifesto, to usurp law and put it under a legal system, they had to do this to usurp the Constitution. And you'll hear people like Henry Kissinger say, the illegal we do immediately, the constitutional takes a little longer, or usurpation of the Constitution takes a little longer. And he's a Synagogue of Satan member, of course. But, Section 3 is basically the savings clause for the people that get voted into office. And it's very trickily written. And it goes like this. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of the president or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who have previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States. And here's the tricky clause. And shall means things that happen in the future. A lot of people confuse this as being pertinent to the Civil War.
Words.
Words. Shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. So what that simply says is they have to uphold the Constitution when it comes to it, but U.S. citizens are enemies. And the reason I found this is there were some people got mad at me, and I didn't take it out of my book. I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but they said, you got to take that out of there. And I go, no, he's wrong. There's a thing called Trading of the Enemies Act, and it was being proposed to the people in the movement that they made enemies out of U.S. citizens with this act. And I go, that doesn't make sense. So, after doing my research and figuring out what the 14th Amendment's about, I go, that's how they made Americans enemies. It's the 14th Amendment, stupid. And they've tried to cover this up for the last 20 years since I've released it. And you'll not find any discussion on sections 2, 3, and 4 of the 14th Amendment. I'm the only one in 150 years that's analyzed it and written a book about it. And they buried it with all this hocus-pocus bullshit that's on the internet now. So they got everyone talking politics. And that's how they get keep people enslaved under the 14th Amendment. And they've usurped the legal system, or the original law of the United States.
Well, that
that's
goes
how
back.
They that's how they done it in America. Like I said, if anyone looks in their country, and that's why I get pissed off at people, the Communist Manifesto in international law means a declaration of war. The Communist Manifesto is a declaration of war by the synagogue of Satan, and it's imposed on every country in the world. And every aspect of it's going to be different. So I know how they did it in the United States. I know when they did it in Canada, but I don't know how they did it in Canada. It's up to you guys to figure that out. It's up to each people in each country to figure out what overlay they've done to their country to make it happen.
That I totally respect that. But I don't want to confuse that with the fact that just because we are in our own separate countries, that we still can't stay together. Just because
I've got to
deal with
that.
One thing one way and you've got to deal with something in another way because of the country you're in, that there's a divide right there that I see. You know, we all still got to stay together.
No, I've came out with a thing called PAC Unification Project eight years ago, maybe already. And it's getting ignored, just like people ignore me. People are stupid in general. You know, their egos hold them back, or they love their Marxism so damn much that they just don't want to hear it.
I'll throw this into the fray. We have had a lot of fluoride.
Yeah. I got a meme for that one.
In all of our countries. We have had GMOs. We have had artificial fertilizers that we throw in our garden. Well, I don't, but some do.
How about DDT?
There is something above us that is spraying things down on us, although most don't want to believe it, even though it's right there for you to see. You know, do you think, LB, that a lot of this might be contributing to people not understanding and waking up? I hate to use that term, waking up, because it's used too much. But do you feel that that's a contributing factor in why this is happening, that people aren't listening?
No, I myself, you know, my parents moved us to the country when I was in high school. So most of my life has been in cities. I moved to Arizona for a while. I'm back in. Living in Wisconsin right now. My nationality is of Illinois. And I'm going to go back there hopefully in the next few years. And I'm going to live in the town. Here's an interesting fact about myself. I started learning these things down in Arizona, but I moved back home after I woke up and, you know, did my own research. And I wrote my book in the city where a lot of lead was mined to kill Civil War soldiers. And that was unintentional. It's just part of the existence. And the town I want to die in or live in the rest of my life is Galena, Illinois. And that's where Grant settled. So it's kind of like, screw you people, you know? And I didn't do it. It was God that placed me here. And that's what happened, because it wasn't planned. It's just one of those odd coincidences. So I guess my point and answer to your question, it didn't affect me. So what's everyone else's excuse?
Okay, well, I'm just throwing it out.
I think it's more
right
the Simpsons,
or not, but,
the
but
Simpsons
there is,
and disinformation.
There is people that are immune to certain aspects of what's going on. Like, you can get sprayed in Illinois or Kingston, Ontario, And slowly after what they've been doing this for, well, ever, you will succumb to that poison. But there are some that can still, that are still immune to it. You know, you understand what I'm saying? The same thing with GMOs, which is in most of your products that you purchase at a grocery store. Some are still immune to it. Do you ever think that that might be a possibility, that some of us have a strong enough, I don't know if it's an immune system or a brain system, to override that and then carry on?
Yeah, it's possible.
Is what I'm saying, does it make sense to you? Can you see that possibility?
I guess I can see it. I see more.
I have distractions
like the Simpsons and stuff like that is more the problem. Maybe some of these current vaccines.
I have four children. Yeah. I have two that are totally clued in. I have two that are totally clued out. And I don't get it because I raised them all the same. So is it environmental factors that they're...
Yeah, the social environment's more posed or positioned to change that than any chemical, I believe. People are social creatures by nature, and they like to be with the crowd, you know, the popular crowd.
As long as you stay 6 feet apart and wear a face diaper.
There you go. No, they're doing the government, you know, people don't understand it, but government is their God. The Supreme Court, the way they act under the 14th Amendment, is their God. And people have said, you know, some of the smarter people I've run into over the years are more intelligent. They don't listen to me what needs to be done, but they do have some, you know, it's like I tell people, yeah, you go off the grid. But you're not off the law grid, so eventually they're going to make it illegal or unlawful for you to have a garden. They're going to take that away from you, and you're not going to have the standing to fight that because you're a 14th Amendment citizen, and you're rebelling against your rights, your natural rights. And people don't want to hear that. You know, I've had people come to me, well, I don't care about what you say about status in this. I think I believe I should be able to own my own property. How do I get my property off the tax rolls? I go, slaves can't own property. You don't get it. 14th Amendment made you a slave. They can do whatever they want with you. And pursuant to that clause I just read, they're clear of it. But most of them are so stupid because they don't know what they're doing. Just like everyone else, they all just do my job. I bet Congress doesn't know this for the most part. Only the upper echelon on the upper Illuminati pyramid or the secret society. Even secret society Masons don't know this. They're just a bunch of useful idiots for the most part that keep the cattle in check. Like I had one woman tell me years ago that her duty for her dad was to make sure the people were in church on Sunday, getting their minds full of 501(c) mush, meaning the government's church, the government being the church. And like I say, you know, you've heard the statement, all roads lead to Rome. Well, what communism did, or Marx did with communism in this overlay that I've been talking about, is reestablish the Roman Empire and their systems of law. So if you notice, priests and judges wear the same thing called a Geneva robe. That goes back to Geneva, Switzerland, which if you notice is a neutral state or country these days. It's been a neutral state for a long, long time. It's basically where the elite hide their money. You know, you've heard of Swiss bank accounts, right?
Yeah.
It's a state where a lot of secret things go on with the New World Order. But anyway, it goes back to Calvin. There was two reformists, and this is the way these people act. Marxism steals, but that's before Marx, of course. This happened way before Marx was around, but it's just the modus operandi of these people. The Jesuits entered the church back in the 1500s, and that's when Martin Luther tacked his protests on the door of the Vatican, or the church, protesting that they weren't teaching the Jesus taught. And then so this guy named John Calvin came along and said he was a reformist or a Protestant, went to Switzerland, wrote his Geneva Bible, and then came back and took over what Martin Luther was about. So the church and the Jesuits commandeered the Christians at that point. And they've been doing it for 500 years. And if you know anything, the Jews run in the background in the United States. They control everything. But the Jesuits are the ones that really control everything. They're the ones that put the Constitution in place, and they still control things.
The Jesuits
It's all based on the Roman system, is my point. So it doesn't matter. The Roman system, it doesn't matter who you worship or if you're an atheist, the government's your God, and it's your church.
All right. Well, I got to say the Jesuits have been owned by the Jews for a very long time.
Well, they were formulated by the Jews.
Pardon?
They were formed by the Jews.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, it goes back to what I just said.
Owned. And they infiltrated the church just like they did with the United States.
And then you get people dickering, it's not the Jews, it's the Jesuits.
Yeah, I know. That
they're all the same. They're all the freaking same.
Yeah.
Like you know, the same about, club.
It goes back 3,000 plus years.
You know, you might want a different bat when you're playing baseball than the other guy, but still the same bat.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me, Synagogue of Satan.
Synagogue, yeah. See, you can understand how complicated this becomes for the average person that never, ever, ever thought anything other than, I'm just going to do my job and pay my taxes.
That's right. Even
and then they realize the famous, after 40 years the famous, of doing it. Well, after 40 years of doing it, they go, this doesn't seem right. And then they go, well, it's because of the Jews. Well, it's because of the Jesuits.
Yeah, they argue going, about that. They're arguing about that.
Who in the fuck is it? I mean, sorry.
Oh,
Well, you know, you can accidentally sometimes. But anyways, I didn't mean to do that. It just came out. But who is it anyways that is controlling us? And that adds to the confusion. And it's the divide and conquer. It's like Wisconsin against Delaware. Like, well, we're Democrat, you're Republic.
Well, that's all part of the divide and conquer thing. Of
that's what I'm saying.
Talked about Sun Tzu designed those rules back in pre Christ times. You know, they're using ancient. You know, people think that the act of rebellion has to include shooting a gun. It doesn't. Rebellion is, they defined it. Noah Webster defined insurgent and rebel back in the 1800s. So that's what I use. And plus, you know, the law dictionaries follow it for the most part. Of course, they convoluted it and confuse it a bit, like the word country, you know. Even Black's Dictionary, you can kind of which is based on court cases for the most part, where they've manipulated the law through court cases. I was going to say Roe v. Wade, for example, that everyone's worried about right now because of the new justice, who's just a Jew tool because she's a Catholic, you know. So it's better than Ginsburg because it's kind of like diluted a bit, but not really. But yeah, these women are worried about losing the Roe v. Wade case. And I got sidetracked, and it gets back on point of what I said about some people having some of the clues. And they say it's a spiritual fight, for one thing. I've heard quite a bit, which it is. And what goes along with that is you can't legislate morality. So it's up to people to say that the priest, known as the Supreme Court, what they say doesn't matter. If you want to be a Satan-following person and kill your babies, that's up to you. The Supreme Court's okayed it. Your priest, your gods, the God meaning government, has okayed it. Go ahead and do it. Otherwise, live under God and ignore these people because they're nothing but fakes.
You know that
meaning woman, the government. The government is a fake. It's a replacement for God or the Creator. It's communist, folks. And I don't understand about this stupid thing called Judeo-Christianity. The Jews hated Christ. They still do today. It's a fraud. Stupid Americans. Unbelievable. Anyway.
Well, that road versus way.
Yes.
Wasn't the woman that this all started over? It's my understanding from my research that she never had an abortion.
I think you're right. I'd have to go back and look, but I think you're right. It doesn't matter. The principle is the court said it's okay to terminate the baby.
Good point. Okay, fair enough.
That's what they follow. And, you know, I don't listen to what that matter of fact, that's how I learned law, because the movement, again, going back to disinformation and wrong things and whatever and what people teach or preach, I started reading case law like all the other patriots were, and I started looking at it and I go, well, they're referring to this person. I'm going to go back and look at his work. Why do I need this middleman pimp, meaning the judges, to tell me what to think? Why do I have to look at their opinion? I want the foundation of law, not what these guys say. And that's how I started studying law. And that developed my rule of the number one rule of how to study law, don't read case law. And that's just the opposite of what the movement was teaching back in the 90s. Because if you don't know law, how are you going to determine whether these guys are lying or not? Simple as that. So that was my path, one of the things on my path to, you know, I said to people the other day, I don't listen to other people. I started learning the truth when I stopped listening to other people.
Well, here's the deal. When I've been before the court system a few times, and the first thing that happens is the prosecution will come out with, I don't know,
I call them prostitutors. They sold
100 case laws for the judge to examine. And then, so to retort, I go, all right, I gotta counter this. So then I got to dig up, and I get like three or four that counter what their 100 says, and then you hand it to the judge, and then you got to speak. Well, the judge is already looking at everything that's been handed to him. He's not listening to what you're saying. And I've been found guilty most times. I guess I'm just not good at it.
Well, you're being taught wrong.
Well, no, counteracting. The point I'm trying to make is this is what everybody does. You're trying to counteract what they are doing to us, and they got all the money in the world, and they can spend day, every day in court with you until you go totally flat broke, and then throw your ass in jail. Or soon it's going to get worse, I think.
Well, it's going to get worse. And, you know, I get questioned all the time on this. They go, well, what wins do you have? And I go, why do you need wins when you do it right the first time and you're left alone? So my point is, and I've expressed this many times, that what I've proposed for 20 years now is being on the offense. Everyone is on the defense, and it doesn't work that way. These people want to enjoy their communism or Marxism, but they don't want to do what it takes to be free. So you're going to continue to get jerked around. And here's a statement that my friend Mike Gaddy pulled up, because he's just a absurd researcher. He's like a maniac. Anyway, he found this from the 1700s. Case law, often used interchangeably with the term common law, refers to precedents and authorities set by previous court rulings, judicial decisions, and administrative legal findings or rulings. All these precedents make up case law. Stare decisis is the doctrine of precedent. So these people, these freaking judges, are calling federal court cases common law. And I can point back to American jurisprudence where they even admit that there is no such thing as federal common law. The reason being, based on what I've been explaining this hour or last this program, that to be fair, yeah, they have to uphold the Constitution, but if you're in their communist association, they don't have to. So to be 100% accurate in what William Barr just met with one of the Christian-based law colleges this recently, and I'll give you the link in chat, or give you the title in a minute. But he said, you know, he doesn't spill the beans based on what I said. They can't spill the beans pursuant to Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, but they have to follow it based on what I read to you earlier. So he was telling people that, you know, people have let the rule of law go, you know, and there's a common law maxim that says that the law sometimes sleeps but never dies. So actually, he didn't quote that maxim, but it's a maxim of common law, real common law, not court cases like this quote said. Oh, that was said by the way, Jonathan Swift said that in about 1750, I believe it was. His dad was a lawyer, and he was a satirist. He did satire for a living, but his dad was a lawyer, so he knew this fact of law. And it goes back thousands of years. Even the release of the so-called Israelites under the thumb of Egypt talked about a woman named Anne, what was her name? Can't think of her last name, but she did some research, and they were using administrative law back during that period of time. You know, it was like, 2000 BC? So law is ancient, okay? So it's been around a long time. And the Roman system perfected it, and that even changed, and I've got they did the same thing under the 14th Amendment, with the 14th Amendment, that they did with the Roman Empire when it shifted from a republic to a Roman Empire. We can talk about that if you want in a minute. But back to the system of law that's going on right now, it's they're following it, is my point. They follow it. But if you're doing the wrong thing, they're not going to follow it. They're going to jerk you around. And that's what you've experienced. And I've been trashed by people saying, well, that sovereign citizen stuff doesn't work. Well, you know, if you listen to operatives and, you know, synagogue of Satan tools and stupid people that don't do their own research, yeah, you're going to lose.
And well, a lot of people got caught up with that Robert Bernard.
I found him.
So
he's bullshit.
Well, no, but again, it goes back to what I said, I think, early in the program was inject the poison.
Yeah, exactly. Know? And he flaps his jaws real good. I got so mad at the guy that ran First Amendment Radio. One day I didn't want to do my program, or I couldn't. I got sick or something. And I said, rerun this show. I asked him what, you know, I told him, asked him what show, or not asked him, but told him what show I would like run. He ran one of Menard's pieces. I was so ticked off.
Yeah.
I go, really?
The best you can do?
No, it's like, it was an insult. And it just goes to show you, I don't think he hated me per se. He just saw that Menard flapped his jaws better. And he's a freaking operative. Really?
I got to tell you.
Because he told some funny stories.
I'll say it on air. Robert Menard was going to be a guest on Ron's show. And then his handlers got involved and said he won't be able to make that appointment. Because at that time, Ron was really good at nailing people to the wall. And he wanted to nail him to the wall. And, yeah, so unfortunately that one never happened. But just so you know, so you're still on the same page as Ron's thoughts, he begged me to get him on. And I had him. I had him. Hook, line. But the sinker fell to the ground and he ran away because he realized.
I got a similar story.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't tell funny, entertaining stories, but I tell people important type stories.
Well, sometimes it's enjoyable.
It is. And it's just not me. I tell people I'm not your dancing monkey. If you want a dancing monkey, listen to Tim Pool or something, you know. And he's got, I think, a million followers. Or, you know, even that Crowder character who's a sellout, he's got 5 million, I think 4.5 million involved in his thing. And he's nothing but a dancing monkey for the establishment. So that's what you get off the internet. But, my story is, it dates back to, Aaron Russo, basically, he's an operative or was an operative. He was inserted into the movement during the same period of time that Bill Clinton was hit the scene. And he came up with a movie called Freedom to Fascism, which was popular back pre-Obama period. And he had a guy that's still out there named Gary Franchi. Handle his affairs, and supposedly Russo died. I don't know one way or the other if he did or not. I still think Timothy McVeigh, who's an operative, is on a beach somewhere enjoying margaritas. Maybe the same thing with Epstein. Russo.
Yeah,
with something, you know, you don't know. And if we had the movement was organized the way I had planned it to be 20 years ago, we have our own intelligence community, but we don't, because everyone's got their ego going and, you know, doing it themselves, and they have their Facebook page and they're arguing shit on Twitter that someone said about Trump or whatever. So, you know, we sit here losing the whole battle, you know, because of these people with egos and idiots or whatever.
You just nailed operatives. It right there.
Yeah. I know. I did.
You did.
I got a lot right down.
Yeah. You just said it.
But anyway,
we're losing the battle because of this bull crap.
Yep. Anyway, back to Franchi. I had him on my radio program because he was like the latest operative, and I still trusted people about 10 years ago. And he got his own radio program. He never had me on. He started a group called Restore the Republic, I believe it was. That's long gone. But he had a thing similar to this. Is before Facebook, okay? He had a forum similar to Facebook, but it was involved in just patriotism, right? We had the second biggest group, meaning People's Awareness Coalition. We had the second biggest group on that forum, and the bigger one was the constitutional group. You know, I am against the Constitution, or expose it as written, as they say. The Constitution as written, meaning it includes the 14th Amendment. So I was exposing the dual system of law that exists right now. And no one touched us. I mean, the next closest group had half the members, maybe, between us two top people. Anyway, that all disappeared. Gary Franchi's out there preaching Trump now, and that's the way this works. And in respect to that period of time, we were supposed to have Thomas DiLorenzo on, and within our talk show, it was called, our talk program, our podcast, if you want to call it that, at the time, he canceled within an hour of the show or program. And he's a Jesuit-trained person. He's with Mises, Australian Economics. Anyone that belongs to that is not to be trusted. Tom Woods is with that. Roman Catholic. Lou Rockwell, he's with Austrian Economics. So these people aren't to be trained. So anyway, back to what you said about Ron, DiLorenzo's handlers got to him an hour before a program. And plus, he wouldn't reschedule.
Yeah, well, I also had E. Michael Jones on, Doctor.
He's an operative.
E. Michael Jones. I had his handlers. We were one week into the program. Ron said, get him on. Get him on.
Yeah.
And I did. And we were within 1 week where we were negotiating to get him on. And 3 days before the program, they bowed out. They said, yep, no thanks. We're not going there. Because what they did, you see, when you talk about handlers, what they do for these guys that are so popular is they look at who the host is and what they talk about. So they listen to a lot of Ron's, like you, they listen to a lot of what he talks about and what he's on about. And they went, fuck no, we're not going there. And they quit. That was it. I went, fuck, we were 3 days away.
Watch that effort.
Ron was going to nail him to the fuck our freaking wall. Sorry.
Freaking, you can say freaking.
Freaking wall. Yeah, man. No, I'm serious. I mean, but it goes back to you doing the same thing. You get these guys on, you know, our controlled opposition and shills, as I hate to use that term, but everybody's familiar with it.
Yeah, they're shilling for the devil.
And when they see you're going to call them out and ask them questions, they run. They run.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, man.
I should be on radio programs all the time, but people aren't doing their job. Someone came mentioned the last few days that, yeah, they even think that the people that even know a lot think that someone else is going to handle it, so they don't do what their duty is. You know, that someone else will do it attitude is why nothing's getting done. And, you know, I have little faith in so-called conservatives. They're nothing but a bunch of Ayn Rand trained self-centered assholes that think about themselves. Everyone in the United States is about themselves. While, you know, anyone that tries anything conservative gets their GoFundMe shut down, while the liberals, which are funded by the synagogue of Satan, ultimately get all kinds of things done, like, this guy got charged and put in jail for burning people's property down in these riots, so-called peaceful protest last week. We need money for him to get him out of jail. And their GoFundMes don't get shut down. But your tight-ass conservatives, all about themselves, donate, yes, maybe to the Republicans, but they won't fund anyone like me because they're stupid.
No, they just don't want you speaking.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Anybody that is telling truth, I don't know. I'm sure you've noticed it on your end, but anybody speaking truth, real truth, is automatically defunded.
Blacklisted.
You get an audit. You get the government comes in. They'll take your bank accounts, which they've done to mine.
No, they know. I beat them. We beat them. We shut them down. And, you know, so if, like you said, you do it right, they can't. They have nowhere to go. So that's why I believe in law. Law is the answer. It's like I said about Barr a few minutes ago. They do follow the law, and their game is deception. So
they don't follow the law. They follow legalese.
Yeah, legalese, their system. And you even have to jump through those hoops. So if you don't jump through those hoops properly, you're not going to win. My whole thing is to be left alone in under Republican freedom, as they call it, and not be a communist. It's there for people to do, but like I said, they love their Marxism so much they're not interested. They're not willing to sacrifice, which is not really a sacrifice. When I got out of the system, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, this whole woman empowerment crap I said the slave thing during the Civil War is a bunch of BS. It's just an emotional sales job to enslave everyone. It took them a good 100 years to get women involved in the workforce the way they want them. It's there now. It's been done the last 40 years. Case in point, the judge just got appointed. Not that there weren't a few before that, but that's all happened in the last 40 years. Women in politics. And it's all just pursuant to getting a piece of them through income tax, which is communist. So, yeah, you can be in our system, but we get 25% off the top. Oh, and by the way, you can pretend you're free, but we're going to put your property in this legal system. You really don't own it, so don't pay the property tax on it, and we'll take it away from you with no legal proceedings. So these people are slaves, and they don't even get it.
You don't pay your property taxes within 3 years, we're going to come in and take it over and sell it to the highest Chinese. Bidder,
the next slave.
Which is something we're running out of time on, which I actually wanted to discuss with you a little bit.
Uh-oh. Sorry, I didn't mean to comment.
We've got, and I have discussed this with Ron, but not in detail, but you might have a better perspective at this point. We've got a lot of Muslims running around the east end of Canada, right?
Yes, foreigners, I call them.
You've got British Columbia, Vancouver especially. It's all Chinese owned. And they're actually starting to vote in politicians. What are your thoughts on that?
It's the synagogue of Satan, and it's pursuant to no borders. That I mentioned Mises a minute ago. The whole thing with Mises is the next elevation of communism. Marx said it, communism deals with to each his ability, to each his needs. Each his ability means if you look at some of the people Marx hung around with, Steiner is Stirner, Max Stirner. He believed, he was an egoist, and he believed if you were smarter and had the ability to screw over people, so be it. And Marx hung out with this guy. So that's the next stage, or the New World Order's philosophy. And like Mises, the people of Mises, they call it anarcho-capitalism. And no, it deals with no borders and whatever. So this is the way of the future. So everyone's a god, you know, self-important person like Ayn Rand taught. And if you're able to screw people over and take advantage of them, that's how it works. And that's communism. The thing they really don't talk about. Like I said, I've been saying to people, the first thing I noticed when I read the Communist Manifesto, I go, wait a minute, the middle class is a problem? Not the ruling the elite or the ruling elite? There's something wrong here. So the Communist Manifesto is nothing but an economic blueprint to handle the Industrial Revolution, which the Rothschilds put together so they could make more profits. It's an economic plan to put the middle man out of business, or the middle class out of business. And that's what this COVID-19 thing is all about. It's just another extension of putting the middleman out of business, or the middle, not the middleman. The synagogue of Satan loves to be they love to be the middleman. No, the middle class and the lower class. They equalized the proletariat with the bourgeoisie, which was middle class. They equalized those two factions or classes, and they are now under the enslavement of these elite that, you know, will take advantage of you if they know more. Or have the wherewithal, which is money, power, family, whatever it is. That's what's going on. And, by the way, the 14th Amendment has a clause in it, which all this is unlawful. They admit it. It could be taken care of overnight. And that's what I got mad at Ron for, you know, because I'm saying this is easy, right? Ron said it was easy. But like we said at the beginning of the show, it's not easy. Because people are stupid. That's a nice ending to the program today.
I don't
think
I have an argument on that one.
I have this thing that I want to push for, but it's not going to happen because people are stupid. That all the money that's been earned over the last 150 years is fruit from the poisonous tree. These million and billionaires could have it taken away and given back to the people of the states if these people would, you know, support it.
You know, the big transfer of wealth with this.
It's been done by fraud, by
COVID-19. No. My government has, already gave them the money up front for, like, I don't know, 8 or 10 different vaccination companies. to save us all from this evil death called, this invisible death called COVID-19, coronavirus. They already got their money. This is a transfer of wealth is all this is.
It's all done under fraud, though. No one's contesting
it. I know that. That's what my point is.
And they admit it.
Yeah, but who's paying attention? Who's listening to you? Who's listening to
Ron?
They
don't, because I'll call them stupid, and they get mad at me. I'm doing it for their own good, but they're too stupid to realize that, so they get upset. But that's all I got after what I've seen, experienced last 25 years of disinformation and crap that's gone on. Literally crap. I mean, what we're dealing with right now in this 2020 and 2020 is crap. And people are buying it. Hook, line, and sinker.
I don't disagree.
It upsets me. I'll admit it.
Well, this is why, LB, we do what we do.
Yeah, because it's the right thing to do.
You don't make $1 million on this. I don't make $1 million on this. We're just trying to tell people. Well, I better be careful with my words. Yeah. Wake the crap up.
You can say hell. Wake the hell up. It's just that F word they call on. We're out of time, I think.
We had
more ways
time,
in more ways than just a show.
This is Revolution Radio, and the program was Rock the Boat. We won seasons, and hope you're listening next week, and maybe we'll have LB on as a guest in the next one. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.